on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook. The Sportscast. Expect the unexpected.
The Top 25 Rundown presented by The Sportscast.
This is the Top 25 Rundown. And here's your host, Alan West.
Good evening. Welcome to the Top 25 Rundown presented by the Sportscast. Today is April 3rd, 2024. Today we're going to be talking about the Final Four and National Championship predictions for the men and the women. We start a little early usually, but today I decided to start later just because, I decided to take a nap and, sometimes when I take a nap, makes the show start a little bit later, but you know what? Nap is a good thing, and we're lucky enough to have Nicholas Hodel on the show, and also Mr. Bob Alves. Nick, I know that you were getting right into the meat of the women's, or actually the baseball and the softball for the area you're living in Brenham. How's that going for you right now, sir?
We're in April now. It's crunch time for some of these teams, and currently at the moment, it's going to be two uphill climbs for the Brenham folks to get into their respective playoffs. But at this point, the last few weeks, which is crazy to think about because, I mean, where I grew up in Indiana, they just started their season like a few weeks ago. And they don't have their playoffs till late May. And here we're talking about teams having a two-game gap to get in with five to go. Like it's crazy to think about, but things are going well. Even though I am missing a little bit, Phoenix, I'm missing my college home a little bit. Seeing all the different content my college friends are putting together and the opportunities they're getting to have this week, but things are going good here. Still living the dream.
Very nice, and Bob Alves also luckily was able to make some time for us. And, sir, I know you're a man of many talents, so I appreciate you making time to come on for this just because after watching how the tournament's been going, I thought about you for not only Duke losing, but just seeing how NC State for the men and the women both have been able to succeed. I know that... I know that's something that probably isn't your favorite thing to see, but still, North Carolina being able to be represented for the men and women, that's still pretty cool. But let's see, how is your bracket looking so far for what we did?
I still got two of the Final Four on the men's, and I've got South Carolina left on the women's. Surprise, surprise.
Nice. Nick, how is your bracket looking that you've made?
I think it's holding up pretty well. I mean, I've pretty much got the UConn and Purdue situations pretty much down pat. I mean, I'm pretty much like most people I would imagine there within that. If I had taken the time to do women's practice, I don't think I ever did one, which is kind of a knock on me, but I likely would have had South Carolina for sure. Iowa for sure. So, I mean, I've been all over those two as a potential national championship matchup. Probably would have had UConn. I'm really not sure how to make of that situation in retrospect. But gosh, the women's tournament, it's on fire right now. It's on fire. The Iowa LSU game the other night was just about everything you could possibly imagine it being. For a game of that magnitude, the start of that first 6-7 minutes was unbelievable. Back and forth action, people making shots. I mean, this wasn't just Caitlin Clark making shots. This was a lot of people making a lot of good shots. That was an entertaining basketball game. And clearly 12 million people agree with me on that because that was the rating, and it's a great moment for women's basketball. And I don't think that record's going to stand past this week, past Sunday. There's going to be a game, either Iowa-UConn or potential Iowa-South Carolina championship that breaks that record. And it's great to see women's basketball thriving like that.
100% agree. Yeah, no, for me, I'll be honest. I picked LSU over Iowa because I thought that Iowa's experience, besides Caitlin Clark, I wasn't sure how well it would hold up. But, well, Caitlin Clark and her 41 points, that said it all in the end. And, I mean, I'll be honest. There have been a few times where I have picked against Caitlin Clark just because I figured another team was going to rise up. And as much as I appreciate Iowa, I don't think they're going to be able to beat South Carolina. I think South Carolina just has too many weapons. And if they do, I'll be happy to eat my words. But I think Dawn Staley's a better coach. And I think that how she's able to bring out the best in her players, I just don't think that's going to happen for Iowa. That being said, I hope that if that is the Final Four, the championship game matchup, I can respect it because it'll definitely be a heck of a game to watch. I guess we were looking at UConn right now for trying to get Phoenix. They're having some playing issues, which I know that kind of seems small, but the thing is when you're having playing issues right before you're going to have to go over and play, every practice you can have either in UConn or in Phoenix is important, not only just because you got to deal with media days, but just seeing how the team's going to acclimate themselves. I guess we both saw that they're going to hopefully get there by tomorrow, but in some ways, it'll kind of give them maybe the underdog mentality. Because, hey, look at what we're having to deal with right now. So if we can survive this, we can survive anything and try to repeat. So if they do repeat, that's great. But I picked Purdue to win it all and be confident in that pick. I'm just waiting to see what happens. I did make the mistake, though, of having Kentucky thinking they were going to go a lot farther than they did against Oakland. So I am willing to eat my words if the position makes it to it. That, and I know that Bob, he watched me as I made my pick, so he got to look at my choices, and we agreed on some of them. But it just, watching how the tournament's played out, even though you're not going to get every pick right, some of those games have been incredible to watch. And I'll be honest, I missed some of the Iowa and LSU game just because, well, I was spending time with my family, which was more important to me, but I was able to watch the end of it. And it just, every time LSU would try to make a comeback and they would punch Iowa in the mouth, Iowa was always able to have the 5 or 6 point cushion to where no matter how hard they got close, as soon as they got hit, they kept that cushion and they made that cushion get even more, which I did not see coming. But with Caitlin Clark having 41 points, I think that was unbelievable. And, well, she's shown how Iowa has earned everything they've gotten this year. And watching how the end of her career is playing out, I think it's going to definitely be something special. And, Bob, are you thinking about trying to go up to Cleveland for the women's Final Four National Championship games?
Nope. Staying right here in Virginia. Well, watching on TV.
Well, if you were, I was going to say make sure you have over $2,000 for tickets for one of the games, which right now, because the women, the building that they're going to be in is 2 or 3 times smaller than the men, the prices for each ticket is double what the men are going to be playing or paying to watch their games. I don't know about you guys. I think that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. We figure out the stadium sizes. And I mean, the demand for both is high. I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. The demand for both is insanely high. So perhaps expected when you have that supply and demand wrinkle put in there. That it's going to be like that, but certainly a moment for women's basketball where, I mean, it's taken advantage of everything that's been going on. And the stars right now are being put in the absolute right spots. I mean, the undefeated South Carolina team normally is, and any undefeated team in women's college basketball is normally the biggest story of a Final Four, but it seems like it's not even close to it, given the star power of Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers in that second semifinal. So it's a rare moment for the sport, and I think that's a good thing. That's absolutely a good thing. I mean, the undefeated teams in women's college basketball, there have been several of them over the years. But when you have star power that can add another layer or two to the women's Final Four, that's always a great sign of positive business for the sport. And certainly, I would imagine that the sport can kind of feed off of it and try to keep finding those next stars, because unlike the men's game, the NBA, people stay for a few years, and those next stars are always budding up. That's a big part of it for women's college basketball. The stars are there and being developed at the college game. They're not just going off to the pros or going off to the portal immediately. I mean, that's just the big thing there, that the stars are there.
Well, I think one thing for women's basketball that's going to be a good thing and a bad thing is you're not going to have the NIL problems like you do with men. So I don't think you're going to have to deal with women's basketball getting out of control on that part. And, you know, for whether it be good or bad, I don't think you're going to have another Caitlin Clark come around anytime soon. So I think the balloon is going to fall quite significantly, because I think a lot of people are tied up in the Caitlin Clark right now, which I hope can be a good thing long term, but I'm worried that it's not. And that when Caitlin Clark is gone, everybody will go back to their respective schools rooting for them and be like, all right, spring football, here we go, type of thing. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but that's just the women's basketball is not an established product yet. NBA basketball is kind of like the Coca-Cola, if you will, or the Pepsi. Women's basketball has not got that established yet, and it's going to have to take years and years and years. And I mean, it might be established at certain places like Tennessee, who just fired their coach, by the way, UConn, places like that. But in a grand scheme of things, women's basketball is not an established product across the land. I don't care what the TV numbers say. That was one game, and that was Caitlin Clark. People are tuning in to watch Caitlin Clark like they tuned in to watch LeBron James in high school. If the Caitlin Clark momentum can help keep women's basketball going, I will be very impressed and very glad to be wrong, but I just worry that it's not.
That is definitely true. Although, real quick, one controversy that I found, I don't know if I'd say fascinating, but different, was the 3-point line controversy, how they had 9 inches difference on one side compared to the other. And like the women's, I think it was up in the, was up in Portland, I guess, is where they were playing the games. And somehow they mismeasured, and yet they still played the games till they finally realized something was wrong after going through the Sweet 16, getting to the Elite Eight. I mean, yeah.
I want to say that was the game with Duke, and I forget who the other team was, but the option was there that they talked to both coaches, and both coaches said, yeah, we got to play the game, if I'm not mistaken.
It was Texas and Texas and Stanford, I want to say.
Well, the option, I think, was given to both coaches of, yeah, hey, we cannot play this. And both coaches said, you know, for lack of a better term, absolutely not. We got to play the game.
Yeah, well, because logistically it was already going to be a nightmare as it was. But it just was seeing how they did not want to make sure that it just was a
But see, That gets back to my whole point. If you want to, women's basketball deserves more respect than that across the board. And to have that happen, I mean, let's be honest, that would never happen at a men's game. I don't care if it's NCAA tournament, conference tournament, or regular season game. That would not happen.
That's fair. And I don't deny that. It just feels like they dropped the ball. And if you're going to drop the ball, don't drop it at the most important event for women's basketball, just in my opinion.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't know how those teams went through an entire round and no one realized it. How does that, I don't understand how that happens. Like that to me is like the oddest part of it is that they played a full round of that site. No one noticed. It's like, how in the world does that happen? How are we just now noticing this in the regional final? That made no sense to me at all.
Because when I was watching, I paid attention to it a little bit. The thing that just was different to me is they said, or their excuse that they had was, we have a model that we always use for how we set up the three-point line, and apparently they used the wrong mark and decided not to check it. How can you not check it before one of the biggest games of the year?
Yeah.
I just don't understand that.
Bottom line, there is no good excuse whatsoever. It's disrespectful to the product that you put out there, and it would have been triple checked had it been a men's game, in my opinion. It would have been triple checked. But because it's a women's game, I don't think women's basketball to that site, portal, whatever you want to call it, got the proper amount of respect that it deserved. And people assumed that it was right, and it wasn't.
Yeah, I mean, it sucked. Just because you always want to see the best effort put out by everyone, depending on what you're going to watch. And so to see that they didn't focus on something so simple as making sure the lines were measured correctly, frankly, it's irresponsible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah, absolutely agreed on that. I mean, that's just something that cannot happen. Period. End of story. It can't happen.
And it just, well, I'll put it simply. Bob, there are times where you and me agree that certain things are very controversial. I'm guessing that in the next tournament and just watching how they're doing things, I would like to think that now they're going to make sure that the company that sets up the courts, they're going to be even more thorough, or their contract's going to be taken away, just because when you have to go on, like when you're having the game start and you have to go right to your sideline reporter to admit the mistake that happened, not only is that embarrassing for you, but when they're having to bring up a woman's name for the NCAA tournament that I had never heard of before, but they had to bring her name up because they had to admit a weakness. You know that not only was the NCAA embarrassed, you know that that woman didn't want her name being mentioned. So for her name to be mentioned before the start of one of the games, whoever is her subordinate, I'm betting that they got an unfortunate earful, because I mean, like we said, it's just embarrassing, because it's like that saying, if you don't hear your name, that's not always a bad thing. But if you hear your name, then you know something happened.
In my opinion, it does not matter what level this was at. It's the, I mean, well, it was at the NCAA level. It's the NCAA's fault, bottom line, mm-hmm. The end. It's not the company's fault that laid down the court, because ultimately, at the end of the day, the NCAA takes responsibility. And I can tell you this. If a high school game, a middle school game, or whatever, if something fails, guess whose fault it is? It's that host site. The end. I mean, you know, it's the NCAA's fault, because they are the host. They are hosting. It's their tournament. It is their fault, 100%.
I just wonder how many other games have been jeopardized because of this, but they didn't realize. That's the other thing, because I mean, it's not like that was the only game that was held there, and so just hindsight is definitely 2020, but you got to expect that they're going to be going over all the research for those games with a fine-tooth comb. But real quick, since we have South Carolina, NC State, Iowa, and UConn, I think we basically have a consensus for what the national championship is going to be. But at least in my opinion, I believe it's going to be South Carolina. And since my bracket, my pick on the other side is gone, I'd love to pick against Iowa in this position. But the thing is, every time I picked against Iowa, it's come back to bite me in the butt. And as great of a player as Paige Beckers is, I think that Iowa's supporting cast is better than UConn's supporting cast. So I think Iowa's going to win and play South Carolina in the championship. But I think that that's where they're going to be coming back down to earth. And South Carolina's going to win that game.
Don't sleep on UConn. Don't sleep on UConn. I'll say South Carolina, UConn. South Carolina wins.
Okay. Well, I mean, I think Fudd is not able to play for UConn. If she was able to play, I think that would definitely be a huge difference. So I thought that she was sidelined earlier in the year. So what do you think, Nick?
I mean, I'm pretty much on board with you guys and that South Carolina probably should be the ones lifting the trophy on Sunday. Who the South Carolina's going to face, I do think it is going to be Iowa. It's just that supporting cast. I mean, Peyton Carr's going to do her thing. Paige Beckers is going to do her thing. It's going to come down to that really point score two to point score four category as to who can help complement their star the best. And I just think Iowa just has a really small edge there in that department. Quality of games should be very similar to the Iowa-LSU regional final. And that's the best case scenario for literally everybody involved. I mean, if we get a national semifinal between those two teams that match Iowa-LSU, that's a win-win for just about everybody at this point. So I think everyone's hoping for just a high-quality basketball game, no matter who wins.
Absolutely. That and before we jump into men's final four, I did see something that was interesting. I'm not sure if you guys saw this, but they had a thing that said every Elite Eight team starting lineup by where they began playing in college. I don't know if you guys saw that. Okay, Nick, you did. Bob, did you see it?
Nope.
All
but
right.
I don't know how to read yet. So once I learn how to read, maybe I can see these articles.
Actually, it's not even an article. This is a picture. Well, no, what it was, it's the picture. So as long as you can count, you would have been okay. But, I mean, I understand. See, the thing is that's impressive about it. When I looked at this thing that they showed, Duke is the only team that had their starting lineup for where they began in college to where they were now. They were the only team with all five players. Next, you had Purdue and Tennessee with four. You had Clemson with three. You had Illinois and UConn with two. And then Alabama and NC State each had one player from their starting lineup that actually was at that team first. So, I mean, that's impressive. And also you saw how the transfer portal has been used. But Bob, I give you Blue Devils credit. They were able to have all five players be from Duke and still at Duke. So congratulations for that, sir.
Well, remember, they're not my Blue Devils anymore. I kind of have distanced myself a little bit, but I'm still going to root for them more often than not. I was rooting for them on Sunday, but my rooting wasn't good enough, I guess.
Well, my rooting usually doesn't go very well either. So, but I mean, your team made the tournament. My Ohio State Buckeyes did not, but they did relatively well in the NIT. Although, have you, gentlemen, been watching the NIT at all?
I've been trying to follow it a little bit. Haven't watched it as much as I would like to have, but I've been keeping up with it.
Did you watch any of last night's two games?
No, I was busy out in the field, but I've been seeing some of the action on a social media. Indiana State, the way they packed Hinkle Fieldhouse proves that the NIT still means something to some programs. Mm-hmm. It still means something. That doesn't mean the same thing to everyone else, and everyone else is every power power conference school. They couldn't give a darn unless the big dance. They are, and unless they're making more money, they couldn't give a darn. But the programs in Indiana State, the opportunity to keep playing at that level means something. And I hope Indiana State wins the NIT, because they're just proving, them and Seton Hall, they're just proving that they should have been in that NCAA tournament over Virginia. And I think everyone would agree with them at this point. They have proven themselves to have been more than worthy of it.
100%. I mean, I truly agree with that, because let's be honest, UVA laid one of the biggest eggs that we've seen. Because, I mean, for the NIT, the teams that declined the invitation this year, Arizona State, Cal, Florida State, Indiana, Maryland, Memphis, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Oregon State, Pitt, St. Bonaventure, St. John's, Stanford, Syracuse, UCLA, USC, and Washington. All of those teams told it no. And I mean, I understand you're not happy to be in the NIT, but even with that being the case, it still is an honor to even have the chance for a postseason tournament to play in. I mean, I know that you've got like the CBI and the NIT, those are two of them, or the CIT tournament, I believe, is the other one, besides the NCAA. But it just, it feels like an insult, just because you would want them to be able to respect the tournament, just because for a while before the NCAA tournament was as popular and has made teams as it has now, the NIT was a tournament where you would be like, hey, this is still something that mattered. Whereas this year, people are more looking at it as a joke, which I'm not going to say it's a joke, but it just...
Well, keep in mind, we used to have people not opt out of bowl games either.
Even though for some... Go ahead, Bob.
I was going to say, we used to have people not opt out of bowl games either. So welcome to 2024. Your draft stock, your recruiting, your portal play, all that's more important than the NIT. The NIT is not what it used to be. So, you know, I don't agree either. I mean, I'm with you. I think schools like Memphis, everybody else except the NIT berth. But, you know, and honestly, it's fair to your kids that you recruited to play basketball, because they want that. I think they want that one more game, because somebody from a school that declined the NIT, their third guy is probably not going to the NBA, maybe not even going to Europe. So I say take the NIT berth, but at the same time, college sports has turned into not what it used to be. It's turned into a business, and I think that's why people shun the NIT.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's a business, and to the people in charge of college sports, it is nothing more than that. It's nothing more than a profit-generating machine. And here's just kind of like the latest proof of that. Fox, and the whole reason why the NIT had to restructure their entire thing is what they were fearing with what Fox was going to do with this college basketball crown nonsense.
Yep.
Essentially, mm-hmm. another postseason, a 16-team postseason for three power conference leagues that wouldn't start next year until the 31st of March, weeks mm-hmm. after the conference tournament. It is the single, this particular tournament, the timing, the conferences included, which, by the way, are all Fox conferences. That is absolutely no coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
This is really the single dumbest idea I've ever seen in college sports, and that's saying something. Absolute dumb. And if Fox really thinks those 16 teams, they still are going to care outside of money, that they are kidding themselves. Everyone in that room who thought of that tournament is kidding themselves. I don't care if it's in Las Vegas. The timing, the teams, the conferences included, none of it makes sense except money generating. That's it. That's it.
I agree with as much as I can what Nick said. And the bottom line is money, 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 money. And that's what makes the world go round at this point. And, you know, I mean, college, and that's why I come, not to beat the dead horse, but that's why I come back to this college basketball and women's. Football is going to make your money at the institution. If you have basketball, which not everybody has, like D1 basketball, like, you know, a Georgetown, a Butler, they're not playing 1A football. So they're probably relying on basketball a little bit more. Now, after you get past football and basketball, I mean, people might like the College World Series and all that jazz, but that ain't bringing revenue in like those other two are. And I think everything else is looked at as a weak stepbrother or the child that you only bring out at Christmas time or whatever, because college basketball and college football, and more so college football, that rules the roost these days. I used to love the NCAA tournament. I used to love the conference tournaments. Now, it's not as fun as it used to be, because I'll tell you what, nothing is going to scream ACC tournament more than when SMU and Pitt play. I mean, good God, that is just traditional ACC basketball right there. Bring SMU and Pitt on to me.
Yeah, I will, for one, cannot wait to see traditional ACC powers, SMU and Cal, face off in a conference game. Like, come on.
That would be great.
Come on. Ugh. It's a mess.
It is, and I mean, we're just going to see what happens with that. And
one more thing real quick. It's not just the ACC. Mm-hmm. I used to love watching the Big East tournament and so on and so forth.
Yep.
But the Big East tournament does not scream Big East to me when it's Creighton playing, you know, Xavier or whoever, whatever the case is. I mean, you know, to me, the Big East tournament was Syracuse, UConn. And now if I want to see that, I can't see it because they're probably not even going to play in the regular season. So, I mean, you know, I mean, college sports used to be fun. Now college sports is just 2 hours of TV time that you're going to fill, in my eyes, or 3 hours or 4 hours, whatever the sport is, because you're going to make money off of it. I mean, people still want to see their university represented when they can wear their little sweater that has a B or A or C or D, whatever the letter is, because they want to see them play on Saturdays in football, or they want to see them play in the NCAA tournament in basketball or whatever game, and, you know, ACC tournament. I mean, traditional rivalry, whatever the case is. But at the end of the day, I mean, if you watch a college game and an NBA game, to me, there's not as much of a difference as there used to be. There's still a decent difference, but not as much as it used to be. I'm done.
I mean, that's fair. Yeah, that's true. I mean, compared to how we used to enjoy watching even some of the regular season games compared to how it is now, in some ways, you kind of feel dead inside when you're watching some of them. I mean, since I am a huge football fan, and I decided that for my birthday, I was going to buy myself more books so I could go back and learn even more about Ohio State football, I was going through some of the ones, and when I'm looking at that, just going back and watching how some of the games have been in past years, just how they are now, and just seeing how conference realignment is, in some ways it's a joke, and it just logistically watching how some of the games are having to be set up, it just is a nightmare. I mean, you want to try to have the best thing on paper or on the field, but with how the transfer portal is, the NIL, and just other statistics that we don't even take into consideration that like different coaches and different schools have to do. Just watching how the NCAA, instead of actually trying to govern, they're just like, oh, well, we'll just try to get Congress to help us so that we can avoid responsibility unless it's for something trivial like, oh, this person, they reported that they're doing this. And we said it was okay. Now we need to punish them. Other than that, it more just feels like the NCAA is a joke, and not only the inmates running the asylum, they've been in control the entire time. Because when you're looking at how ESPN and the College Football Playoff have their things set up, it's almost like you don't even see the NCAA having a part in the discussion. It's the teams and ESPN, and the NCAA is just kind of there for now.
You know how you can see real change in college sports?
Not watching.
If the donors aren't donating that amount of money, and if the advertisers aren't paying the networks the amount of money they're asking for. I mean, and I blame the donating more than anything because, you know, if you take the donating down and XYZ school, instead of getting, you know, 5 million, is only being able to donate, only being able to get 2 million from their donors. That's going to make a huge difference. But guess what? That's not going to happen because, I mean, who do you see at these games, especially at the tournament, because that's what's going on right now, cheering on their team? Mostly about 70-year-old people with their coats on and with their hats on. And, you know, I mean, those are the people. I mean, people like us are not dropping $50,000 as a donation or more because, A, I don't think we have that. B, would you if you did? I don't know that I would.
It had to be something extremely like once in a lifetime special if I did, honestly. I can admit that, but the thing is, it just you hope for better and for more, but right now it doesn't feel like that's one of the points that's going to be coming up. But as we're going down that road, let's jump back into our picks. We have UConn, we have Alabama, we have Purdue, and we have NC State. For me, I think Purdue is going to beat NC State. I think it's going to be a very close game between Burns and Edey. Alabama against UConn. I have a hard time seeing UConn lose to Alabama, even with Alabama overcoming the different things they've overcome. UConn just has been looking too strong. I think that it's going to be UConn and Purdue in the championship. I still think UConn is going to lose to Purdue, and Zach Edey's going to go into the NBA draft as a champion.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really overthink this. I think the only question in that UConn Alabama setting is how many points UConn's going to win by. And Dan Hurley is one of the best coaches in America in convincing his team to act like they're the underdogs, even though they're not even close to that. So I'm thinking 20 point plus blowout there to start the day. And I do think NC State's going to give Purdue a little more of a fight than I think people will give them credit for. What DJ Burns and DJ Horn have done is simply amazing within this tournament. But I think that even DJ Burns gonna have a hard time matching up with Zach Edey inside, and that's a big problem. Because I mean, once you lose that interior battle, then you're gonna start to really see the problem. Because Purdue's guards are also really good. So that should give us the dream matchup of UConn and Purdue. And I do think it'll come down to Klingon versus Edie, who is going to impact the game a little bit more. And it's going to come down to just how those backcourts are going to play. Really, that to me is kind of a toss-up. I am going to favor UConn only because they have the experience of being on the big stage, where Purdue could very well falter at that stage. And it's going to be a tough matchup, I think, for Edie. I mean, I don't know if he's really played anyone like Donovan Klingon before at the college level. I mean, I'd have to really go back and think about that, just all of the different bigs that he's played, because Edie's been able to control the paint in pretty much every game he's had. Now he's going to get someone of a similar size and can have just as much of an effect in the game. That might be tough on Edie. That might take him a bit of an adjustment. And Bate make that adjustment, who knows? UConn could go on a big run like they did against Illinois and what I would consider the greatest scoring run in tournament history. They could go on one of those, and that's it. That's a wrap. So I just think UConn has just a tiny few more things going for them that I think can allow them to win another championship.
Bob?
FYI, when I looked at my bracket, I actually had three of the four. I said two, but I had Alabama to the Final Four as well. So I'm going to flip the script a little bit on what you guys said a little bit as Alan rolls his eyes. I'm going to take Purdue over UConn in the finals. I'm going to say Purdue beats State by more than UConn beats Bama. I think Bama, I can't remember if it was Alan or Nick who said it. I was listening, but, you know, I think Nate Oates is going to play that underdog card with his group a lot. And Alabama is not a we're happy to be here type of team, in my opinion. I think they're going to give UConn more of a challenge. No doubt. I think UConn's been playing the best ball in the tournament. That is, I don't think, arguable. NC State has got Kevin Keats as head coach, who is actually from Lynchburg, Virginia, where I sit right now. But I will say this. This drives me insane. Because everybody that wants to compare this NC State team to the 83 NC State Cardiac Pack that won the tournament, that won the ACC tournament, because you had to win the ACC tournament to get in at that point for the most part. I mean, Carolina, I think, got in with an at-large, and Virginia did. But back then, it was not the – you're not getting seven from a conference or even five from a conference back then. But NC State – I don't think it's had the – I mean, granted, yes, they had to win the ACC tournament to get in the NCAA this year. But I think that's where the similarities end. I mean, I don't think this is an NC State team that's comparable to the 83 team. And plus, the 83 team got famous after the tournament because of the story of Jim Valvano and so on and so forth. With that being said, I think Purdue rolls – State. I think UConn beats Bama probably by about 8-9 points. And then I think Purdue beats UConn. But I'll tell you what, UConn's post play in this tournament has been phenomenal.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's why we make our brackets to be broken, so that we can see how close or how right we can be for them and see about how our second chance brackets can go. I mean, I think that we're going to be ending another good tournament. I'm not sure if it's going to be the result that we all completely want, but I think it's going to be competitive and just seeing how all the different storylines not only come into play, but just how they finish up. I think it's going to be something we're not going to forget like usual. Besides, everyone's going to make sure that they watch one shining moment, so we'll get to see how they incorporate that and what scenes they put in for the tournament, so. I think that that's going to be one of the highlights, but by the time the show comes on next week, we'll be able to recap it and see who was either right or who turned out to have picked up the upset that came into play. That being said, fellas, is there anything else you can think of that we haven't tried to mention about before basketball this week, men and women? All right, so I guess that probably did clear the base pretty well, or make sure we hit our shots. Nick, if we were going to try to reach out to you outside of here, what would be the best way to do it, sir?
You can do that over on X, formerly known as Twitter, or whatever you want to call it this week, over at Hodel Sports. Get really just all the updates you can ask for on all the Washington County, Texas teams here, and I will be definitely trying to tweet a little bit during the Final Four and the national championship. So, I mean, I'm just looking forward to seeing how this tournament ends. It's been a heck of a tournament. It really has on both sides.
Nice, and that's a great way to put it, Bob. Now I know it's dangerous asking you if we can keep track of where you are afterwards, but if we were going to try to do that, what would be the best way to do it for you, sir?
Go to the old X, the sports buffet. I don't know if I can say I'll tweet. I mean, am I going to X during the tournament? I don't know. I mean, I can't. I'll do something, I'm sure.
I mean, if you were going to do something on X, you'd be Xing out the losers. So
There you go.
to make sure that the winner would get to move on. How about that? But for me, I do need to post on X. It's only been about 8 months, but you can find me there on Allen F. West or on Instagram at Allen.West46. But gentlemen, thank you for coming on. And Nick, I wish you and Brenham Sports a great rest of the year, not only for playoff time coming up, but hopefully making it not only through, let's say, the regular season, but also postseason, and seeing how that'll end up for you.
Yeah, it's gonna be a fascinating few weeks here, for sure. It's gonna be fascinating.
Now that'll definitely be good, and well, fellas, thank you for coming on as always. This has been the Top 25 Rundown. My name is Alan West. That is Nick Hodel and Bob Alves. We will see you guys another time. Have a great week, and we look forward to seeing who the next champions are going to be. Have a good night, everybody.